RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
It is my great pleasure, it's been a bit of time coming this, to introduce RCR's very first strategic sponsor. Yeah. Now, we talked about that, I think, remember back in April that we went off air for a week or two and we came back and we gave you the plan. Well, in that plan was strategic sponsorship. Takes a while to put it all in place, but now we're here. And Nigel Dixon from Primal Kiwi is our very first. Congratulations, Nigel. Thank you. And it's great to have you on to talk.
Oh, thank you very much, Paul. I didn't realise that I was actually the first, but yeah, I did put my hand up when I was asked because I thought that's a great opportunity. So and a way to help and hopefully, and yeah, so thank you.
Okay, well, the RCR Foundation member club is there. The RCR subscriber base is there. The RCR listener base is there. So Primal Kiwi, Nigel Dixon is our first strategic sponsor. And I'm really curious, first of all, I know what primal means, but what's the connotation in the naming?
The primal goes very much back to ancestral diet and around the genetics, our genetics and what we've evolved to eat. And we often, I guess, we're brought up from the day we're born by the diet that our parents have us on, and we sort of tend to think in our own lifetime. As far as time frames go, and we think the way we eat and what we put inside our bodies is normal, but what we're genetically encoded to eat takes thousands of years to change, and so it's a suggestion. Mm. I guess it goes to a suggestion that maybe we think a bit longer term about what ancestral diets and what we're really meant to be fueling our bodies with.
Every bit of information we've had from all the experts that we've had on RCR in this area over the time, nearly 2 years, have all kind of said a version of that.
Mm. Yeah, I reckon it takes 10,000 years to change your genome a little bit.
Unless you do a bit of gene editing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Get the CRISPR machine out.
Yeah, apparently it's a thing, but... And of course, you know, we look at industrial scale monocropping, and you can go straight to the food pyramid that's been promoted heavily since the 70s, with 6 to 11 servings of grains per day, and it's only machinery and industrial scale agriculture in the last 100 years that has allowed that to even be a diet for us. We couldn't produce the sort of quantities that we now consume that on.
I want to find out how you got to where you are now, the sort of kind of journey, but let's just tell our listeners what Primal Kiwi offers in terms of product and, stuff related to that. Let's find out about that right now, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Our products are predominantly animal-based. We've got 4 beef products from ruminant animals, and we've got a krill oil from Antarctica. We were looking around for an omega-3 supplement, and when choosing one for the product lineup, I believe every understanding I have is krill oil is the ultimate and an omega-3 supplement. It's got other nutrients in there as well, and Antarctica is where that's commercially caught, and it's clean and it's low toxicity, low heavy metal, and it's got astaxanthin, choline, so it's another level up from fish oil basically. So, and then we've got bee pollen, and a lot of the, obviously there's a spectrum of ways of eating from vegan through to lion diet and everything in between, the carnivore diet and ketovore and keto and vegetarian, and there's a scale there, and the hardcore carnivores would say that we're not meant to eat plants at all. I think plants can be very, very healthy or very toxic.
Yeah.
It's hard for us to know which ones and herbs and what ones are medicinal and what ones come with their effects that we don't want. But in general, plants don't want to be eaten, and their defense mechanisms are toxins, because they're stuck in the ground. They can't run away like animals can. So they have toxins. But pollen is the part of plants that they do want to be eaten. Plants produce pollen to be attractive to bees, so that the bees go and collect them and pollinate them, and it's the give and take relationship there. And it so happens that bee pollen is an incredible superfood, and so it's part of our lineup. And the beef products, which once again, because they're animal products, they don't have the toxicity that plants have. And the nutrient ratios, they're all in their organic form, meaning the nutrients, they've been alive. So to be in organic form, something must have been alive, either be alive or have been alive. But there's a lot of supplements out there on the market that are made of ground-up rocks or synthetic isolates. Not the same.
Ground-up rocks? What?
Yeah, there are. You know, I've even heard of actual iron, actual metal being used in for fortification in foods and things. So it's not an organic form. So we don't eat rocks. Plants eat rocks. So plants take up nutrients out of the ground, and through photosynthesis, they make those nutrients organic, turn them into their organic form through photosynthesis. I think we learned that at school. I didn't learn lots at school, Paul, but that's something I did learn. Mm. And
me either, don't worry.
And then we either eat the plants or animals eat the plants, and we eat the animals. But the point is, the nutrients are organic. And that's what you get with animal based nutrients, and they come in perfect ratios for us. If you eat meat, of course, we're made of meat, so it's very, very easy to convert our nutrients and superfoods to digest them and then reconstitute them back into usable material for us.
Wow. Okay, well, that's really cool. I was looking on your website before we started chatting, and I was quite interested in sort of the story that you tell from being a young man in Australia to kind of through to now, spalling through to now, and the points you made about, you know, trying to be fit and taking in, you know, all that powder stuff and protein and all of that and going hard at the gym. And I think you said something along the lines of, and maybe I could find the exact line, but I think I remember it, and that is that being fit and strong doesn't necessarily mean one is healthy. And that sort of got me thinking, because that is what you think, you know, if you're fit and strong, that you are healthy. You just make that assumption.
Yeah, and I mean, an example of, you see some amazing athletes and ultra athletes that are incredible feats of endurance that they manage. They go from one illness to the next, you know, a lot of them. And then quite often they pay the price down the track with long-term health consequences from, you know, it's incredible, and it wouldn't take anything away, but they often pay a price. So we can work our bodies very, very hard for a time. And some sports are known for just burning out athletes quite quickly because the demands are so high. You know, it's those people that the correct nutrition can either make or break and give longevity to a sports career or not.
Yeah, so if you're pumping in the gym and think you're doing everything right, if you're not looking at nutrition properly, you're not really all the way there, are you?
Well, some people can get some pretty big muscles. They might be, you know, maybe genetically set up to put on lots of muscle quite easily. And they can look pretty fit and strong, but it doesn't mean that, you know, you're right, I mentioned on the website, I was the strongest I'd ever been. I was lifting good weights at the gym and taking my protein powder and amino acid things and all the rest. And next thing you know, I'm in hospital. And
Well, that was quite serious, wasn't it?
Yes.
Really serious.
Yeah, it was intensive care. I was paralysed down one side of my body and I couldn't coordinate the other side, and then it was a coma. And
there was a blood clot, I think, that went almost the length of your body.
It started off with viral encephalitis.
Oh, that's a brain infection.
Yeah, so
infection,
it's a virus,
right?
supposedly a virus that got into the brain. But then as a course of the treatment, yeah, I spent about 6 weeks all up. But yes, there was a blood clotting incident amongst that as well, so... Yeah, it was. It was, you know, parents flown over from Aussie, and they didn't know if I'd be alive or not when they got there. And I wasn't at the time. I wasn't too worried about. I was more worried about being end up a cripple for the rest of my life than I was about dying. You know.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. So you obviously kind of rebuilt yourself from that.
Yeah, it's an interesting journey, and certainly that was really, I didn't have much experience with the medical profession before that. just an interesting journey. And they go, you know, what you sort of learn is they go through their education process. And if you come up, I was sort of looking, well, why did this happen to me? I was, thought I was healthy, and I'm looking around for, they couldn't tell me why it had happened. As far as they, it was luck. As far as they were concerned,
all right, just bad luck.
Yeah, just bad luck. I'm looking and go, why is that? And that sort of started me looking. And then you realise you're talking. So yeah, we're talking 35 years ago, and you're talking to medical people, and you're asking them the questions. They didn't have answers, but they were quite dismissive of anything that I came up with.
Hmm. That's a common pattern. You know that, but that is a common pattern.
Yeah.
Still today.
Look dead right. Yeah, and that's, I guess, that started a long journey in my late 20s. I read a book, and I can't even remember the name of the book or the person now because it was 30 years ago. But the general theme of it is follow the money, and it was a book exposing the corruption of the medical industry and the food industry and government and the fundings and the conflicts of interest. It had been going on a long time then, so it wasn't anything new. It had been going on an awfully long time.
Yeah, that's so, the other thing we've been finding out. It's this. Yeah. This is a decades and decades long.
Yeah. So, and you start looking at that. So, by the time our pandemic came along, of course, I had eyes wide open for a long time. You know, so yeah, I was just sort of very dubious, to say the least. Yeah.
You and all of us, mate.
Yeah. So, you know, what we've seen the last 5 years was just what's been going on all our lives on steroids.
Yeah. Mm. You're supporting us. Why are you supporting us?
I was pretty dubious about much that came out of news and journalism before this pandemic started. That was the starting of you guys and Voices for Freedom and Reality Check Radio. So I was dubious about the news media anyway, and didn't put much credence in anything they had to say. But when that started, I found it extremely isolating. I remember you see those first grainy videos come out of Wuhan, and I guess I was probably already hooked into some media that was exposing the truth on things anyway. So I was probably early out of the gate compared with my peers around me. I could see what was going on, but I felt like I was all alone. It was pretty isolating.
Yeah. That feeling.
Yeah, yep. You'd talk to some people and you're looking around and they were just buying everything that was on the TV. You'd try and talk to them about much else and their eyes would glaze over, you know. You go, but what about this? Have you seen it? It's like, and Voices for Freedom came out of the blocks and over that, you know, I don't know, there was plenty of time for them to get started. It went on for a long time, didn't it? You guys are really the only ones that are taking the message to the people. You have better people and better interviews, the most credible sources. It's crucial that information gets out to the people, and it's about a waking up process, isn't it? And it's very difficult for some, but it's they just need to hear the message from enough people to jog them into thinking.
Well, thank you for being a strategic sponsor of RCR. It's fantastic. And here's the offer, folks. And I guess there will be special offers to our members. Nigel, you might want to mention some of those now. They can access the code by logging into the RCR site and going to sponsors page. There you'll see a code which corresponds to Primal Kiwi. Anything on offer right now? First up?
Yeah, look, we normally have a first order discount, which people get once, and then hopefully they shop at closer to retail prices. We offer subscription discounts, but that first time discount for RCR donors and members, we'll roll that out on an ongoing basis. And
that's good. All right,
I haven't done that for any other group. The raw materials for our product, it's all New Zealand sourced product. It's sold all around the world as American companies buying our raw materials and encapsulating it overseas and calling it New Zealand product. For that reason, it's not cheap to get its hands on. It's not a high margin product, but hopefully it's a way that we can add Primal Kiwi can add some benefit to your listeners and another reason to be involved and contribute financially to RCR. And hopefully that works for everyone. Hmm.
Well, thank you, Nigel, for coming on. You can go to our RCR site sponsors page, punch in the code, and it's all on. Nigel, thanks for coming on.
Paul, thank you very much. for having me. I love your show. I tend to do replays, but I listen in whenever I can. And
thank you.
Really good.
Yep.
You're doing a great job, and the whole station's doing a great job.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.